Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, I'd like to continue our study through Matthew tonight. We looked at verses 15 to 21 last Wednesday night on the Lord feeding the multitude with five loaves and two fish. The next account is when Peter asked the Lord if he could walk on the water. And everything that happened before that and after that. And we're going to start into this account tonight, but I only want to look at part of it. I just want to look at the part that leads up to Peter asking the Lord if he could come out on the water with him. There's something in these events and what all is said right here that I want us to see, and I pray it will bring great comfort to us. I've titled this message, Absolute Sovereignty in All Things. Absolute sovereignty in all things. Let's read the verses that will be our text. Verse 22 to 27. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. That's sovereignty. Now let me just ask you this. How often do you forget that like I do? How often do we forget that? Our Lord Jesus Christ holds absolute sovereignty over all things. How often do we forget that? I forget it all the time. I would say every day, but it's more than every day. I forget it all the time. He holds absolute sovereignty over all things. And I want us to start by noticing that in each one of these verses. Verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Our Lord Jesus Christ has absolute sovereignty over all of mankind. All of mankind. He did then, and he does now. Sovereign power over man. John 17, verse 2 says, "The Father has given him power over all flesh." Aren't we so glad for that? Aren't we so thankful? Don't you look at this world. Doesn't it create such fear and chaos and turmoil and uncertainty? And being reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ has absolute sovereign power over all of mankind, every man who stands on this earth, every woman who stands on this earth, absolute sovereign power. That just makes me so thankful. All of mankind is being ruled over. All of mankind everywhere is being reigned over. And I'm so thankful. I am so glad that God rules over this wicked world. And I'm so glad that God rules over wicked me. I truly am. Man has his devices and his wicked ways, but man is not going to have his wicked way with God. God is going to have his way with wicked man. There are two accounts in the scripture that I just love so much. Every time I read these or think about these, I love so much. One of them is in John 7. You don't have to turn. But one of them is in John 7 when the Pharisees and the chief priest sent officers to take the Lord Jesus Christ. They sent officers to get him and bring him to them. And when the officers got to the Lord, he was preaching. And the officers, they as soon as they walked up and heard him preaching, they just were dumbfounded. They just stopped and listened. Absolutely taken by what he was saying. And when the Lord was finished preaching, the officers just turned around and went home. And when they got back, the Pharisees and the chief priests said, "Where is he? Why didn't you bring him?" And the only answer they could give was, "No man ever spake like this man. No man ever spake like this man. This man speaks with authority. This man speaks with power." How often did they try to take him and he just walked right through? How often? Where the word of the Lord is, there is power. There's authority. Where the word of the Lord is, whatever the Lord's word is on something, you can count on it. How often do we read this word thinking, "I hope that's so. I hope that comes to pass. I hope we can count on that." You can count on it. Where the word of the Lord is, there's authority. There's power. The other account that I love so much that declares this and demonstrates this is in John 18. When Judas brought that mob of men to take the Lord, to bring him to Pilate, ultimately to the cross. When the mob got to the Lord, he asked them, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am." And it says, as soon as he said, "I am," unto them, they went backward and fell to the ground. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen that? I would have loved to have seen that. "I am." Just like dominoes. Boom. Psalm 29 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." The voice of the Lord thunders. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord divides the flames. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. The voice of the Lord holds absolute sovereignty, absolute sovereign authority over all things. All things, especially man. Especially man. That just comforts me. He says, go, and we go. He says, do, and we do. He says, go get in a ship, go out into the middle of the sea, into a great storm, so much so you think you're going to die. We get into a ship, we go out into the sea. Absolute sovereign authority. Absolute power over all men, all of mankind. Daniel chapter 4 says, he does what he will with the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So he sent the multitudes away, and they went away, this great crowd of people. He said, go away. They went away. He sent his disciples into a ship, out into the middle of the sea. They got into a ship, went out into the middle of the sea. Verse 24 says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. What caused that wind and those waves? Well, it comes from warm air rising and cold air taking its place. Where does that come from? Well, the warm air comes from the sun. Where does that come from? Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, including wind and waves. This great storm that just rolled in a few hours ago, that was God. I was in my office listening to it thunder, and every time I heard it thunder, I couldn't help but think, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The Son said to the Father, glorify thy Son, so that thy Son may glorify thee. And when the Father spoke, everybody said, it sounds like a thunder. All things, wind, waves, no matter what it is. Our brother just read Psalm 107 to us. It says, he raises the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. He does that. God does that. The Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 4 tells us from an account when his disciples woke him up from sleeping down in a ship. They woke him up because the storm was so great. They thought they were going to die from it. Carest thou not that we perish? And that account tells us that not only is he the one who raises the wind and the waves, he's the one who rebukes the wind and the waves and says, peace be still. With such authority, there is a great calm immediately, just immediately. A great, great calm. Not only does our Lord Jesus Christ have absolute sovereign power over every soul on this earth, he has absolute sovereign power over every element on this earth. Everything. Everything. At his command, the rocks cry out. At his command, the trees of the field clap their hands. At his command, the fish swim to the particular hook or net that he determined for them to go to. Isn't that what happened? Cast your net on the other side. I just enjoy so much thinking of all those fish fighting to get into the net. He told Peter one time they had to pay taxes, and Peter said, "We don't have any money. Will the Lord provide?" He said, "Go fishing. First fish you pull up, reach into his mouth, there'll be enough money in there to pay my taxes and yours." At his command, the ravenous bird flies from the east. Isn't that what Isaiah 46 says? At his command, the ravens bring bread and flesh every morning and every evening to a man sitting beside a brook. At his command, wild asses' colts are tamed, and donkeys too. Don't you love the absolute sovereignty of our God? The absolute sovereignty of God over all things. The moment you become disturbed, the best thing you could do is stop listening to the news. It's news to us, but none of it is news to God. Breaking news. This is what God sovereignly did today. And this is what God sovereignly did today. But every time that you do become overwhelmed and disturbed, you just remember God is absolutely sovereign over everything. Every man, every wind, every wave, everything, everything, everything. Verse 25 says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." Walking on the sea. Not only does our Lord Jesus Christ possess absolute sovereignty over every human being on this earth, the adversary cannot do anything without permission. And not only does he hold absolute sovereignty over every element and everything and every creature on this earth, he also holds absolute sovereignty over every binding force, every limitation, every bondage that keeps us here. Gravity is keeping us here. We're all ready to just fly away. We got gravity against us, just keeping us here. Even gravity is subject to him. The things that are absolutely impossible with man, Jesus Christ holds absolute sovereignty over all those things. All of those things. All of the binding, burdening tribulations that we're subject to. He said, "In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer." And that's what we're getting to tonight. That's the point of all this. Be of good cheer. It's so much easier said than done. Our prayer is, "Lord, help us. Send cheer in here." Be of good cheer. He said, "I have overcome this world in every way, shape, and form. It is him. Be not afraid." It is him, no matter what happens. It's him. Be not afraid. I wanted to take the time at the beginning of this to really set up his absolute sovereignty, his authority over every single thing on this earth in our life. Because truly being reminded of that, that's what will allow us to be of good cheer. in the midst of all of the storms. We have so many storms. We just have so many storms. One comes, and as soon as that one dies down, another one comes right behind it. Just so many storms. Verse 26 says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." That pretty well perfectly describes our life on this earth. We spend our time, start to finish, troubled in fear over everything. Fear over everything. The reminder of His word to us is, it's Him. It's Him. Be not afraid. These are all His controlled providences. All of them. That's what we see all around us. All of His controlled providences. And as we see them, we're troubled by them because we don't understand them. We don't understand them. Why would that happen? I just don't understand how or why that could happen. As we see all these things, we're troubled, we're afraid, and it's all because we forget who is doing this. We forget who is sovereignly reigning and ruling over every small detail of this world, this life we live. We forget everything is His sovereign means accomplishing His sovereign will. Everything. Everything is on purpose. There are no accidents. Two cars collide, that's a crash on purpose. That's a car on purpose, not a car accident. Everything is on purpose. Everything is on purpose. No matter how awful, no matter how horrific, no matter how devastating, we're so weak and pitiful and doubtful in the flesh and we don't understand things. But honestly, just look at the cross. Just look at the, imagine if you had been alive back then and you had witnessed the cross. The most horrific, devastating thing this world has ever seen and God's people had ever seen in the moment that it happened. Was our Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly in control of that moment? Was He sovereignly in control of all of those events? I understand He had to die, but why did He have to go through everything leading up to that? I deserved everything He got leading up to that. He was sovereignly in control of all of it. He sovereignly gave Himself. He sovereignly offered Himself to that accomplishment. He sovereignly bore the sin of His people. He sovereignly poured out His blood on that sin. He sovereignly bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He sovereignly did that. He sovereignly laid in that tomb. He was sovereignly in control even of His own death. As He was dead, while He was dead, He was sovereignly in control of that. You say, how do you know that? It's because He said, I have the power to lay down my own life, and I have the power to take it again. That commandment I have received of my Father. He sovereignly walked out of that tomb. He sovereignly ascended back up to glory, and He sovereignly sat down on His throne. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Those two on the road to Emmaus were so sad because He was our Redeemer. But He died. And that's what the Lord said to him. Be of good cheer. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? It's I. Be not afraid. This is what he says to all of his people. No matter what comes your way, no matter what storm you're in the middle of, no matter what you're facing, it is I. It is Him. You hear the news of great trials. We have brethren who are going through such great trials. Brethren who we're praying for, brethren who we're trying to do everything we can do for, just such great trials. And I'll admit to you, trials are not easy. We need the Lord's help on this. This is easier said than done. Trials are not easy. Sorrows are painful. Sicknesses are troubling. But let's remember this. Let's remember this. It is Him. It is Him. The Lord is the one who sent His disciples into the storm. They didn't just happen to wind up in a storm. He sent them into the storm. He's the one who commanded them to go. He's the one who commanded the wind and the waves to beat against them. He's the one who said, wind, waves, toss them about. Why? Why would He do that? Why would He do that? It's because in His sovereign wisdom, He used His sovereign means to teach them of His sovereignty. This is the reason why. Look at verse 33. Skip on down to verse 33. It says, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped Him, saying of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. That's good, isn't it? That's a good end result from everything that happened to them. He says, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His sovereign purpose. Oh, the comfort of God's absolute sovereignty in all things. Absolute comfort. Every trial, every temptation, every sickness, every loss. No matter what it is, He sovereignly comforts us. His perfect wisdom, He's so wise in what He's doing. He's so wise. His sovereign will, His sovereign love in it. That comforts us. We know this poem well, but it's good for this, and it's so true. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. His wonders. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. He's the one riding on the storm, walking on the sea. It's Him. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill. I love that line. Never-failing skill. He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread. And don't we dread trials and sorrows? And nobody wants to be in the middle of the ocean in a boat that's about to go down. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. That means don't say that should have never happened. I don't think that should have happened. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind every frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. Just be of good cheer. It is Him. Be not afraid. May the Lord help us to find some happiness and some comfort in that. May He help us to do that. Lord, help us to be of good cheer. Whatever it is, help us to say, it's You and I trust You. It's You and I trust You. You're sovereignly in control. I pray so. All right, let's all stand together. Turn with me to 299.